Ja, ich schließe mich natürlich auch.
Yes, of course, I subscribe to all the gratitude that has been expressed. I'm not going to talk about it in detail, but yes, my cordial thanks to everyone involved. Anyway, let's go back to the title of this exhibition and of the project we're talking about, namely talking about in its individual parts and not as in its entirety. In German, the term shot has a twofold meaning. In a technical manner, it designates a shot of a camera which is not edited, a camera which is set in order to film a certain perspective on of an object. So this involves setting up the set, setting up rails for which the camera on which the camera is going to travel and the lenses, etc. The space is set up, the setting is set up. So setting in the twofold sense, but also making something fitting. I mean, can you set up that date? Can you fit me in? And what you also fit, what you set up is the camera. You provide lenses and you gear it to the set. And once it's been set up, the camera, the technical condition for the take have been defined. In English, the setting, the Einstellung, is called shot. So everything is geared towards the final picture, and at least in the film, the shot is the result of a deliberate decision. In second sense, a shot designates an attitude with which you reach out onto to the world. The attitude is linked to certain values. It can be cynical, it can be loving, it can be hateful, etc. If you postulate that the setting is short, Einstellung is the Einstellung, then you say that the perspective onto the world which the camera is creating by being set up, you've got a certain attitude inherent. What you show how is a decision, which perspective I assume onto the world which I want to show. In the English, the pun doesn't quite work because in German it has a twofold meaning. A shot is a shot, and this does not really appreciate the value attributing dimension. A shot is an attitude, is a statement without any pun in English. So how strong is the content of the playfulness in the pun? An Einstellung ist eine Einstellung, a shot is a shot, an attitude is a shot. And I think this underpins the title of this exhibition. And apart from the playfulness, isn't it in a literally ethical maxim of the political aestheticism of the film? In which case, this would mean that in the shot, a certain value attitude is being expressed. If you emphasize the game, the playfulness, then you can understand the work, a single shot. A labor in a single shot by Antje Ehrmann and Harun Farocki can be understood as a game configuration, and the rules which are imposed on the players are that you have to have a single shot and provide a perspective on labor, provide a take on labor. This is a game configuration which actually has a so-called self-reflection inscribed. It is a performative game which, but the rules of which tie the players, because the shot opens up a twofold relation. It shows the work of the others from the perspective of the own work. Thomas Elsasser, in his introductory keynote, quite rightly emphasized this aspect by giving us this long Godard quote, where Godard himself sees himself as a film worker. So an Einstellung, a shot, is a shot attitude at the work of others, and an instruction for your own film work. I want to walk you through these game instructions by three different gameplays. So what do we see, how do we see this, and how do we rate this work before and with the camera in these three settings? Let's start with the dry cleaner film. We already saw it in the analysis by Isabelle Lore and also on the screen. Could we please roll the film, The Dry Cleaner?
Im Gegensatz zu vielen
Contrary to many other films which we saw, this film does not portray labor as labor based on the division of work, a Fordian or a conveyor belt work. It doesn't show the work itself. You only see the work by listening to the sound. So you complement the picture yourselves. And you know that this guy is working on one of these steam iron presses which he mechanically operates. But the film doesn't show this. What the film does show, and this is what Delors also quite rightly pointed out, what the film does show is the glance of the worker into the camera. So the film, the entire take of the film centers on the face of the person. He has a very strange look in his eyes and he kind of rules the film. So this film portrays the glance, the look of the guy. And through the look of the guy, the film shows the work of the film, and it is kind of present in the expectant expression of the face. As soon as the camera comes, something happens. A communication is initiated. The guy communicates with the camera. And for us as the observers, as the silent observers, it remains kind of we remain kind of mystified as to what this is. I mean, what does this look tell us with regard to the filmic work? So it remains a skeptic look in his eyes. It's not a look which expects to be valorized by the camera as something that is intriguing, an image that intrigues. In my view or my take on that, my attitude, my shot on that is it's like a look which sees the camera as an older model. It's like a witness who comes to see what you do, and you show yourself to this visitor. You display yourself, and actually the camera takes on the function as of the visitor. The camera becomes a proxy for a person, so it's a very personal look. You may argue, you may wonder what happens in this mutual, reciprocal perspective, and what is the meaning of work in that interaction of the look. I'll take on this from the camera perspective, the filmic work. The work is not depicted as a manual work, which at the end of the day gives you a wonderful product. But the filmic work is depicted simply by having been there, having witnessed this. So this is kind of the witness model which is expressed in this. So it's quite neatly reflected in the eyes of the worker. Now I'm going to work my way through the three filmic examples and try to give you an idea where I see this kind of twofold nature of the valorization. Suresh Kumar, film number two, Looking, Bangalore.
Thank you.
In diesem Film.
In this film, you can take it that the valorization itself becomes the subject of the film. So it's less about the presentation of a work, but it's rather more about this interplay of the writing and the action. So it's a kind of bizarre knocking, which already creates attention. The knocking has a certain rhythm. It's a certain aesthetic valorization of an activity, but it's not a paid activity. It's a kind of fee or tip-based donation, something that's kind of requested at a public toilet. The writing says free toilet. The woman sitting in front of the free toilet gains the money through something which she does, and she doesn't have a legal title under labor law to the compensation. What's so interesting for me is that in order to make sure that the work is being recognized, which has a value, and in order to be able to exercise this work, the woman has to add this aesthetic value added, create attention through the rhythmic knocking. And the camera adopts a twofold perspective here. So first of all, she shows the back of the woman. And depicts her activity, the knocking, the reshuffling of money, which again is just an interactive communication dimension, the size of the coins, as opposed to kind of give those people leaving the booths an idea of how much is being expected. So it's a complex interaction based on a physical rhythm and translating this into coin. So it's one of the few films where this translation takes place into the exchange value. And it's so interesting that it takes place here at a level where no goods are being produced. It's a gesture which is located outside of the circulation of goods and services. Now you can, of course, interpret it to the service context, the sociological context of service, of rendering services. But I think something else is much more intriguing. What about the relationship of the filmic valorization? And how far is this the interesting image, the nice motive, the good sound? And how far is this level communicated through the pictures which are being depicted by the camera? So the take of the camera, the attitude here. So in a way, it's a twofold valorization. It's a valorization which unfolds in front of the camera, but it's also the valorization which takes place with the aid of the camera. Something that makes the image possible or important, sets it apart from others, where the image itself has been given a dimension. That it can lay claim to producing something that has value. So it's a twofold meaning which we already had in this take. And this is also repeated in the question of the valorization, that we have the economic determination of the value. How do you rate work? How do you rate the goods? How does this translate into the generalized convertible currency of the money? And how far can it be represented there? But all of this through the aesthetic dimension, through the fact that at the same time we also observe the process of making a film. So at the same time, this is also subjected to this overall constellation of questions. Do we participate in the valorization of an art project, which is like a montage, and then, you know, becomes lots of different single shots and turns these single shots into one shot or labor in a single shot? And is this then valorized in an artistic space? I think this interrelation is quite important. After all, in the capitalist production process, in the society which produces goods, art is not exempted from these value-added chains. And this brought me back to a rather Marxist analysis of goods and their fetish character. Many of the films show images and takes or shots. I like to talk about takes. Let's translate shot into take because it conveys the twofold meaning also of the attitude. Now, something is being produced which is almost surreal. You see products being produced where the utilitarian value is very opaque, remains very opaque. In the aesthetic valorization of the takes, of the shots, you already usher in this hiatus, this turn, twofold meaning, where something is being posited as a conundrum, which is also, because it's also being extracted again from its production relations, this is also to do with the singularity of the individual takes or shots. Let's put the following question. How do you valorize the value of art in this context? In how far does this relate to the work motive? Sorry, I can't really read this out because there's no time left. So allow me to give you a quote, which I find very interesting in this context. This quote is by Theodor Adorno. Haydn in piano. If you understood why Haydn doubled the violas in the piano, then you could understand why mankind ceased eating raw grains thousands of years ago and why they started polishing and honing their tools. In the consumer item, the traces of its production should be made invisible. The consumer item should not look manufactured. The consumer item should not betray the fact that the person exchanging the item did not produce the item, but that they appropriated it. The appropriation of art covers this work. So let's take this theory. You may quite rightly ask, what is being covered in the work which is being shown so that we can depict it as films, as shots, or labor in different shots, single shots, because there is a kind of breach. It's not like a sociological study on marginalized working relations which we're presenting here. And I think we're so fascinated in these brief videos because these brief videos do not show the overall context, but they focus on individual fragments, jigsaw pieces, and then rearrange them, compose them. And this composition does not explain them, but rather underpins their kind of cryptical character. So this is my take on that. If we adopt this take, then it is no longer our look through the window onto labor relations at 14 different locations. but we have single shots, single takes, autonomous images that depict something which can either be translated into that witness model, and this would at least be experienced by us as having witnessed something at that location. But as soon as we watch the films in the exhibitions as a kind of installation and spatial configuration, they take on a rather different character. And this would be quite interesting as a question. What about the valorization of the single shots of labor and their relation to the entire compositum about which we talk here, or of which we talk here? So it seems to be rather something different than if we talk about individual films, because we already discussed the individual films as one comprehensive object. How does this work, this filmic work and the work which is being depicted, link up in a film, in a single shot? Whose work is being shown is a question which cannot be answered, in my view. And therefore, the question for the valorization as an economic problem in an artistic space cannot be answered either, because it is neither about an exclusively economic valorization within the meaning that we can say, okay, the art market, et cetera, what have you. But what's so interesting about it is the following. In the transfer from one value sphere to the other value sphere, if you wish, two value models start to compete with each other. And only from this competition do we discern or identify the work of labor in these films as something that we can discuss under the aspect of a valorization, and we're not really clear about what the valorization is based on. So this dichotomy seems to be one of the preconditions for this oeuvre by Antje and Haroun, for this piece of work by Antje and Haroun, that it works with the principle of singularization and of the compositum. So single shots and labor in a single shot. So it's something different than one single film. The valorization springs from the problem that art itself cannot divorce from its origin in work, nor can it escape the generalized production form as a good and the commoditization and fetishization. More specifically, you may also try to look at the various fetish models of work. Like you've got different craft activities and craftsman activities, and you think they're very singular and they lend a special manual product, and this is at odds to the reality of machine production. In how far does this, is this reflected? In how far are the manual labor images reflected here? Here we see, I think it would be very interesting to have a different take on this and shed a different light on this, what it means to work under the aspect that work is largely seen as a mode of repetition. I mean, in knocking, it's also about repetition. So in how far does this tie in with a series? And in how far are we dealing with a piece of work which takes on the format of a series? Isn't this a result of a production format which is was serially produced at different locations as a project? Is this to do with a serial production process? These are questions which we might quite rightly also discuss using this work and thereby kind of extract it to some extent from the attempt of regarding the singularities as fetishized precious objects. So there is this danger, and I think there is an aesthetic dichotomy, and that which exists precisely by Antje and Harun, exists precisely in the fact that the free serialization was chosen as a form where the singularity is revoked and covered at the same time. So within, based on the foregoing, I think it is indeed a valorization which, you know, it's a production form of small workshops where anonymous films are shot, which are then brought together again under the name of two big authors. And this production method also tells us quite a lot about the filmic valorization and how this takes place, and how the filmic valorization nowadays comes into being in an installation space of fine arts and how it has established itself in this space. Patrick Sonnecavalieri's film on the Babbage score, therefore, is not just entertaining. I think this film actually depicts something very similar, namely the integration of the workers, of the garbage men, into the samba culture as a variant of pop culture, which is very much harnessed in Rio and fostered in Rio. And therefore, this film does not only depict the surplus, the subjectivity to increase labor intensity, etc. I don't think that the garbage men have now become more cognitive as a result of this, but actually this film describes the interaction between art as a sphere where the valorization, the economic valorization takes place, unfolds itself, and is being reflected at the same time. And I think this is something you need to concede when you watch The Garbage Man. It's not just about a cynical self-exploitation, but rather it is also something like an aesthetic practice which focuses on the twofold valorization and the twofold take on work, the twofold shots on work, attitude on work, and focuses on this, but at the same time being a communication, having a communicative side which links, be it us talking about the films here. So I want to leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, speakers. We have about 10 minutes for a break, and I was told by the organizers that you are allowed to bring beverages back into this auditorium, so you don't have to linger outside and wait until you've finished your drinks. Please bring them back in and try to keep it to 10 minutes. Thank you.